Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick.
Penalty flag.
Tony Baselli.
False start.
Jeff Loggeman. It's a five-yard penalty.
Five-yard penalty. Please remains, back up, J.P.
Remains first down. Good to see you guys. Welcome in.
What's happening?
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Apparently, I'm hard of hearing. I couldn't hear myself. That's my fault. Plenty to get to tonight. The preseason schedules in the National Football League announced this afternoon about 4 o'clock. We'll get to that. Plenty of prospects around the building the last few days. Actually, Tuesday and Wednesday, 20 players came through and interviewed with different parts of the organization. Guys coming out in the 2015 NFL Draft.
18 or 19 of them will not be Jaguars.
Really? That many?
Well, I mean, most of them are first round, maybe a couple second rounders. That's why I say you might get two of them in the first and second round, but, you know, from the names I heard, and Jeff, maybe you have heard more names than I have, but most of them were first round guys, maybe a couple early second round guys.
Yeah, but the good thing is about, you know, first and foremost is the Jaguars.com website, actually, yeah. And Brian Sexton sat down with a lot of these guys, and which, you know, there's a lot of organizations in the National Football League that don't allow that.
That's right.
And I think it's good, first and foremost, that the organization allows that because it lets Jaguar fans get to see players that have come here. And number two, I think this is a great exercise for the team to evaluate the players that they're bringing in further in a media situation.
No doubt about that.
You know, so it actually serves two purposes. It serves purpose of, you know, providing content for Jaguars.com and the Jaguar fans, but then it also gives Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley an opportunity to see how these players react when the camera's on and the microphone's stuck in front of their face.
How much does that weigh into the final factor? I don't think it's a whole lot.
Well, I don't think it's a whole lot, but it's a piece to the puzzle.
Sure.
It's another data point that is collected when you're making the entire decision, the final decision.
It's kind of the same thing that, you know, for so long the NFL teams wanted to close practices to the public. You know, well, my opinion of it was always, look, what better way to evaluate players when, I mean, I remember at one point when I was in New York, we used to do one-on-one pass rush, and you were surrounded by fans.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, look, the NFL is a fan business, and you have to evaluate players when they're in front of fans. And so, like, the opening of practices, getting cameras and microphones stuck in front of your face, I mean, these are all great ways to evaluate players. And let me just add this about the preseason schedule.
We'll get to that.
You touched on it briefly.
Sure. Yeah.
I love it. Good teams. I mean, first and foremost, good teams. You love to have week 1 and 3 in the preseason at home.
You want to go over what it is now that he's jumped the gun on
the preseason schedule has been announced by the National Football League and the Jaguars preseason schedule, though the actual dates and kickoff times will be announced a little later.
Except for one, which is the national game against Detroit. The date and the time is on that.
That was, yeah, that, okay, that's okay.
Go
that's
ahead.
Right.
Why don't you just give the sheet to Jeff?
You just want to read it?
No, go ahead.
You want to read it?
Just, you know, when you say that.
I'll get to it eventually.
You got
to
add the asterisk.
We got a whole hour.
Ahead and say three of the four are TBD.
You're more like you're trying to pull me and just interrupt constantly. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, we're all interrupted.
Too much energy.
It's just monster energy.
We can't have two of us interrupting constantly. That's my job. You're supposed to be the one under control.
What's wrong with you? Week one, the Pittsburgh Steelers come into Everbank Field. Week two, the Jaguars are at the New York Giants. Week three, nationally televised game on CBS against the Detroit Lions.
That's an 8 p.m. game, JP.
Okay. And then week four, they'll wrap up the preseason against the Washington Redskins with probably right before the last cut. So a lot of second string guys.
You know what I like about that right there? Good preseason trip to New York. Some good food.
Absolutely.
Go get some good Italian, buddy. Wow. I mean, I'm not being selfish or anything, but when I think preseason and Washington, I'm thinking, what cities are we going
to? Well, we kind of got a balance there. I mean, New York is always a great trip. Okay.
Great trip.
I mean, you stay in New Jersey, so it's not really New York. It's New Jersey. But then you have the balancer, Washington.
It's terrible.
That's like the worst place to go.
Why?
Because
why
your
stadium,
that?
First
your,
of all, so far
stadium's
away.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
You're staying somewhere in a suburb where there's nothing close by.
Well, no, I think a couple years ago we stayed right down in D.C. Didn't we remember when we bust out?
Yeah, 1 year we did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was like once out of like four trips.
Oh, usually you're in the middle.
One time,
nowhere.
College Park, this past year. Where were we at this past year?
No, it was for Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, somewhere
of
off
Army
of,
Navy game, yeah.
Somewhere off of the Loop, you know, the Beltway there. You know.
Yeah, but New York's a good trip. Mm-hmm. I think we go back to New York during the regular season, too.
That's right, yeah.
Double New York trips.
AFC East. So, yeah, there you go. The is it better to have – is this right, home, away, or would you rather have it another way?
Week one and three is – it's always critical in the preseason because, first of all, the excitement of the first preseason game is awesome. You know, so you want to see – everybody
Four
wants to
quarter.
See their team. You know, and so having week one and then week three, which week three typically is the dress rehearsal for the regular
that's
season.
A good game.
That's always a good game, and to have Detroit and have that on national television, that's good stuff. You know, so – and then you have, you know, Pittsburgh, obviously. I mean, that's a gate draw. Detroit will be a gate draw because it's going to be on – was that a Friday night? Yeah, it's Friday night.
Yep.
You know, so that's cool.
Friday night lights.
You know, so you got Pittsburgh, which they'll bring fans down here. I mean, they'll travel in the preseason. And then you've got Detroit on a Friday night, which, you know, the Jacksonville fans will come out in big numbers. Mm-hmm. I like it.
What was it last year? Was it home,
it was
away,
flip-flopped. Away? It was flip-flopped last year where it was week two and four were at home, and one and three were on the road, which to me, you know, it's not what you want.
The regular season schedule always comes out in mid to late April, but before the draft, so we should know the entire regular season schedule.
About 10 days, I bet.
Yeah? Well, you got some inside info, Tony?
No, that's just the middle – of the month, like you said.
Just making sure. It sounded like you were pretty specific on that.
Well, I like
you
making
a source.
I like making statements, strong statements.
Yes, we know. We get that. Back to these prospect meetings. Did you guys go on tours? Did they do that when you guys came out?
No.
I went two teams, the Rams and the Jaguars.
Which is very different because, I mean, if Tony were in the draft today, you might visit 15 teams.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I was coming out, you didn't do that. I mean, they came
year
on.
Was that 89?
You know, they came on campus, you know, worked you out, brought a contingent, and you didn't have a pro day. You know, it was an individual thing where, you know, the football secretary said, hey, look, the New York Jets or whoever's coming into town this day and they'd like to work you out. Okay, great. You know, and you'd show up and do your thing. And maybe a little bit of conversation while you were doing the workout, but you didn't travel. You know, they didn't do that back then.
Yeah,
for whatever reason.
The Rams were down the road because they were still – that was the year the Rams moved to St. Louis, but they were still officed in L.A. in the transition. So I just drove down – they picked me up and right down the road, and then Jacksonville flew me into town.
But the top team didn't do it.
The Bengals flew out to see me.
Yeah, well.
The head coach and the offensive line coach, they didn't even work – they worked me out one time. And then a second time, they flew out to have lunch with me.
Carolina didn't talk to you.
No.
It's pretty interesting, too, that the way the league has set it up now is that you're allowed a specific number of players to come in and visit. And
the 30, right?
Yeah, and the smart teams utilize every one of them. And the reason I say that is that somewhere down the line, some of these prospects that you get a chance to meet and talk to and get to know, you know, may be successful players in the league. And then eventually be free agents at some point. So if you have some type of rapport with them that's established, whether it be at the Senior Bowl or the meeting process through the draft evaluation, it's always good to build a little bit of history with certain players so that in the future maybe you can draw back and tap in on that. So, I mean, it's a good thing for the Jaguars to utilize all of those visits.
This is more for the team. This is all the team's stuff. The player is going to all these different places, and he has to figure out, I mean, could he get
figure out what?
No, I mean,
there's nothing to figure out.
If he has that relationship, he might have that kind of relationship with three other teams too.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So you have to separate those relationships.
Yeah, but it's just good to get to know the player.
Yeah, it's for the team. On the player side, you're just going. You're going because you're asked.
It's great for the player too, because you know what? Let's say you don't make a roster, you know. And
well, most of the guys that were in the other day are going to make a roster.
Well, most of them will.
Yeah, but at some point they'll be
at some point they might or being cut,
right?
You know, and need another opportunity with a team that may have liked you and liked you in the interview process. So it does work both ways. And so I know that some of the players that came in, I mean, they treat it very seriously. They treat it just like any other business interview. I was talking to Brian Sexton. He said that I think it was Eli Harold, the outside linebacker slash defensive end from Virginia, came in with a suit.
That was a Virginia guy for you. That's
well, no, I mean,
that's a
you
little
know, they
much,
do,
you know? In my opinion.
But I mean,
that's overkill.
It's a job interview.
That's
Tony.
Over. Come on, over. You're a football player.
I mean, we all weren't the number two overall pick. Okay.
Now you know who would love that though, if Eli Harold walked into Tom Coughlin's office wearing a coat and tie, suit and tie, Tom Coughlin would be impressed.
If I was head coach and a guy walked in with a suit,
you wouldn't be.
I'd be like, what are you doing? It's Florida. It's hotter than heck out there. Go get a pair of shorts and a T-shirt.
He's not going to work out in
Tom Coughlin would eat that up.
If he's going to work out, he'd go change. He's not gonna
I'm not saying he's working
field.
Out. It's hot. What do you want?
You
got to
dress
now.
You can't dress nice now all of a sudden?
I didn't say that. I'm just
That's
saying.
What you just said.
I said, I don't get it.
It's too much.
It is too much.
No, it's not. It's a job interview.
Yeah. Nah, I don't buy that. It's a job interview, but dress to where you're going. Dress accordingly
right.
to what
well,
you're doing.
Then the 19 other guys didn't wear a suit, apparently.
Eh. So well, I don't know what the other guys wore, but
they didn't wear a suit.
Brian just made
I'm
a
not
point.
I'm not holding it against the guy. I'm not saying I'm going to knock him down a peg.
He's off your draft board.
No, though. I'm just saying.
He's out of your top five.
I'd be curious why he wore a suit.
Trying to make a positive impression.
Yeah, but I think he made
and, and at Virginia, the student body goes to games wearing a coat and tie.
Thank you.
Okay, that's,
see?
But I think, you know, the positive impression you make is you turn on the tape and you're like, oh, he's good. That's more positive.
Well, yeah, it's always more positive.
And it's a good guy and you can hold a conversation and, you know, you're not, you know, getting busted for smoking dope or
So you're saying he's trying to hide something?
Yelling obscenities at a school.
Well, he didn't get arrested for that.
Are you saying he's trying
so
to
hide Jameis, if ja- if ja-
if, Here we go.
If Jameis wore a suit, would that move him up on your board?
No, it would not.
So you're saying he's trying to hide something by dressing nice, Tony.
I never said he's trying to hide anything. I'm saying I don't understand why you'd wear a suit. I wouldn't wear a suit. Let's put it that way. I only know the kid. He's probably a great kid. He went to Virginia. He's obviously smart. He's a very good football player. So I don't really care that he wore a suit. I'm just curious why you wear a suit to Florida. Like, in my opinion.
I wear a suit all the time.
And frankly, in my opinion.
And you wear it well.
Thank you.
Not really.
I appreciate that.
You're a little heavy right now. But, I mean, in my opinion.
Wow.
Really?
What?
From the top rope.
Go ahead.
The guy loses 10 pounds.
Oh, yeah,
and
now
he,
he's just starting to talk.
No, I lost 40. Thank you. I've gained
well, it looks
10.
Like 10.
I've gained 10
gained
back.
10 back, right, exactly. math.
If I was in charge.
Right. I can't wait for that day.
I would outlaw wearing suits for everybody in the entire state of Florida. It's too hot to wear a suit. You should not be allowed or have to wear a suit from May 1st till October 1st in the state of Florida. I don't understand why you'd wear a suit. Wear a nice pair of slacks and a button-down, golf shirt, something like that. It's hot.
When was the last time you wore a suit? What are we talking about right now? This is unbelievable.
I wore a jacket yesterday. I had a meeting yesterday.
I don't know where you guys are going.
I don't know either.
If you guys want to keep on going, y'all go right ahead.
You're the one who brought up the suit.
Yeah. I just made a point. I didn't want to turn it into a segment discussion.
The guy had a great idea. Wear a suit. It's a job interview. I agree with you.
I just disagree on the great idea part. And I don't think you look good in a suit either.
How do you know? When was the last time you saw me in a suit anyway?
Well, you don't look good in anything, so I assume the suit's the same way.
That's a little personal. I don't like that. That's kind of harsh. A little harsh.
Just tell them the truth, Joe.
Let's take a timeout.
We need a timeout.
We'll straighten this out during
the refocused.
Break. Get more in 2015. Become a Jaguars season ticket member. And get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Receive a stadium experience voted number one by the fans in the league. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call and speak to an account manager, 633-2000. We'll come back. Mike Mayock has switched some of his rankings at a very valuable position in the draft. Mock drafts changing as well. Plenty to get to coming up. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company offering corporate and fan travel packages.
Wow.
And hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to PrimeSport.com. Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. The poorly dressed Tony Boselli is here. And this is Jaguars Thursday.
I wouldn't refer to anyone else being poor after that reading.
Well, yeah, that was a poor read.
I
apologize.
I feel bad for Prime Sport.
Sorry, Prime Sport. That's my bad, as they say.
Just keep talking about it. They keep loving it now.
We're trying to make do on it after that read.
Mike Mayock, a great analyst, NFL Network. He was has been following these pro days, of course, throughout, and has his top rankings by position of prospects come out. He's not a big mock draft guy. He does one at the very end, the day before the draft,
which is highly anticipated.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it'll sway a lot of people's thoughts about the draft the next day. But he has changed the quarterback rankings, and he now has Mariota ahead of Jameis Winston, citing mainly the off-the-field red flags.
I'll bet you any amount of money, though, when his mock draft comes out, he has Jameis going one.
Oh, yeah, it's what you'd think the team's going to do.
That's my
right?
point. So he's rating him different. That doesn't mean what the teams think or where anyone thinks these people are going to go at this point. I think everyone, the consensus is that Jameis Winston's going number one. And I disagree with him. 100%. And I like Mikey. I think he's great. Best in the business. I think Winston's going to be a better pro than Mariota.
What do you make of this, Jeffrey?
I think Mariota's going to be a better pro. I watched, I don't know, probably about an hour of film of Mariota today. If he gets into the offense that he was at Oregon with Chip Kelly, I mean, he's going to have success early on.
See, just that's
because
the thing.
Of the familiarity with the system.
How many offenses run like that?
There's one.
No, I mean, it's
one. One, yeah. So yeah. If he goes to Philly, it's going to be great.
If he goes to Tennessee.
But the other 31 other teams, no. Jameis Winston to the other 31 teams is going to be better than Marcus Mariota.
I don't know about that.
I mean, do.
You watch some of the throws that Mariota makes.
Just watch him in the pocket.
He's decisive. His eyes never lower when he's in the pocket. He's got nice pocket presence. Got a pretty quick delivery. I like him.
If you watch both of them in the pocket, Jeff, Jameis Winston is 1,000 times better in the pocket than Mariota.
Well, it's a different pocket.
He's better in the
pocket. First and foremost. I mean,
he buys
Winston
time in the pocket.
Five and seven step drop, whereas Mariota, it's that spread offense, you know, the Oregon Duck offense that – you know, everything's kind of timing, and it's really not a five-step drop.
So whoever,
it's very different.
So whoever drafts Mariota has to change their offense, is what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm sure
he's going to adapt.
Look, if you want him to have, you know, some success, you want to have some of the principles that he had success with in college to allow him to have success. I mean, no different than, you know, the Washington Redskins in year one with RG3, that they kind of adapted their system to some of the stuff that he ran when he was in college at Baylor.
And a lot of people feel like that stunted his growth ultimately. And
that may have. It may have, but I think the thing that stunted his growth the most was just himself and his lack of commitment to getting better and understanding the game. You know, he kind of thought that he had arrived and he knew it all. You know, and I think that the great ones, I think, separate themselves at that position with a work ethic that is unparalleled. Because it's a much different game, and it requires a commitment to be the best. You know, other positions, you can go to the weight room and you go outside and you run around, but the quarterback position is so much more than that. That's why it's the hardest position to forecast for what a guy is going to be in the NFL, because it's so much more than just physical attributes. It's mental attributes. It's the way your heart is made. It's the way your soul is designed and built. I mean, it's just completely different than any other position, maybe in all of sports.
Sports, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another one that would
be. It's the most challenging position to play in sports, period. And that's why there's been so many misses historically in the NFL draft at that position.
Yeah, that's
I
mean, otherwise, Tom Brady would have been a first-round pick.
I'm trying to think of another sport position that could compare to that, and I can't off
the
top of my head.
Well, it's so hard. None. The reason there's so many busts is because everyone's trying to get one, so they often get overdrafted. Listen, Marcus Mariota and probably Jameis Winston are not the best players in this draft. They're not. They're the best players at the most important position, so that's why they're going to get drafted high.
Yeah, I wouldn't term it as being overdrafted because the importance of the position makes you have to draft that guy.
That's
to try to
so
find
you overdraft him.
But it's not really over. I mean, for that position, it's not overdrafting. It's just the importance of the position requires you to find that guy, and it's hard to forecast. I mean, who would have thought that – I mean, you go back to historically and you look at David Klingler, who threw for – a bazillion yards at the University of Houston. Ryan Leaf.
And an offense that wasn't set up for them, and that's the whole concern you have with Mariota.
But, I mean, even like Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning, I mean, there was a legitimate 50-50 split between a lot of personnel guys that thought that one guy would be better than the other.
How about the poor Cleveland Browns? Their history with quarterbacks in the last, 10 years, 15 years, especially recently. Now, and that's why the rumors of – the Browns are talking about trading both first-round picks to move up to get Mariota. Now they just got a first-round guy 2 years ago in Whedon, right?
Last year,
and they got Manziel too.
Well, that's 3 years ago, I think it was in Whedon. But yeah, 3 years ago, last year Manziel, you know. But I mean,
you got to find a guy until you have a guy.
If Cleveland's willing to give up two first-rounders, I hope the Tennessee Titans take Leonard Williams too, because that means. If I'm Dave Caldwell, I'd take two first-rounders all day long.
If you can get it.
I mean, this is smokescreen lying season. That's a report. Everybody's interested in moving, obviously. But when it comes down to it, not many trades ever really happen on draft day.
About
trades now, let me add this to it. In that, you know, back when the salaries of first-round picks were just, you know, in the stratosphere, the trades were uncommon. But since all of that has come under control, the trades have become more commonplace in the draft because the numbers have dropped. You know, so I think, you know, and if you look at the last couple of years since the salary cap for the rookies has been put under control, the chances of trading back have become more likely, or trading up have become more likely.
Let me ask you this then. At number two, Titans.
Yep.
A lot of these mock drafts have kind of changed now and have Mariota going two. Bigger need for them, quarterback or defensive line?
The Titans are going to pick, I believe, Leonard Williams unless they can trade out. I don't see them picking Mariota.
They have so many needs, JP.
Yeah, I think they like Mettenberger. I think they either trade it and someone comes gets Mariota, or they pick Leonard Williams.
Yeah, they have so many other positions that they need to fill. Quarterback being the primary one, and is Mettenberger the answer? Nobody knows that. You didn't see enough of him last year to know. I mean, they saw him a lot, you know, in practice and training camp. Had a pretty successful game in training camp. I remember watching one of the games that he played in. I was like, wow, he did pretty well. But, you know, you go back to, do you need as close as you can get to a surefire lock of a player in Leonard Williams, or do you go to the most important position that you don't really have it settled, and that's the quarterback position? You know, then you got the rumors out there that Ken Wisenhunt and the Tennessee Titans could trade for Phillip Rivers in San Diego because of Phillip Rivers, you know, desire to not sign an extension in San Diego with the possibility of them moving to L.A. So, I mean, so there's so many questions at number two. You just don't know what is smoke. What is mirrors and what's reality?
We have 3 more weeks of this.
Yeah,
right at 3 weeks.
At least it's better than last year, where at this point we'd have 5 more weeks.
That's very true. Last year was
Thank
a little
goodness.
Long. Yeah, that was a little too long. So if Williams is available at 3, is he a surefire lock to come here? Tony, I know you'd take him tomorrow, but
I think he's the best defensive player, and I think he's the best.
I know you have a Southern Cal hat beside you, right?
Well, I think he's the best player in the draft, and Or I think it's hard to pass on him.
Can Fowler overtake him head to head if they're both available? You know,
he's a better player than Fowler. Fowler is a bigger need for this team. And so I think you have to ask the question is how much better is Leonard Williams than Fowler? And if he's heads and shoulders better than Fowler, then you have to take him at number three. If he's the best player, you got to take him.
Well, it depends on your outlook, too.
You got a little bit more of a track record with Leonard Williams. Yeah. You know, Dante Fowler is, you know, kind of bloomed late at the college level, where Leonard Williams has been a good player for a number of years. So.
Leonard Williams has been the best player on that team, best defensive player on the USC since he was a true freshman at 18 years old. Hmm. And he's been the best player every year he's strapped it up. He was the best player in high school when he played. He was the best player in college on his team. And I think he's going to be a really good pro. I don't think he's going to be J.J. Watt. Those are some of the comparisons you hear. But I think he's going to be
J.J. Watt is like once in a
That's why I say it. He's
decade or two player. But I mean, they just don't come along.
He could be a top end defensive lineman.
I guess the last one that came along was Jeff Loggeman, right?
No,
I
mean, no. J.J. Watt is the last one to come along at that level. Yeah, I mean,
Bruce Smith, Reggie White.
Yeah, that's where you got to put J.J. Watt.
LLT.
Still early in his career, right. But I mean, he's.
If he continues to go on the path he is,
he's right in
it's
there.
Reggie White, LT, Bruce Smith, those guys.
Which are, you know, you hope to be able to draft one of those guys if you're a personnel guy in your entire personnel career. You know, surefire lock Hall of Famer. I mean, that just doesn't happen very often. Now if you want to get in the argument, Leonard Williams or Amari Cooper, you know, that might be a better argument. You know, but with this team, do you see them drafting an Amari Cooper at 3 overall after last year you spent a bunch of draft picks on wide receiver, and do you want to make that position group younger for a young quarterback?
I can make the argument. I can make the argument for Amari Cooper. If you think he is he is a stud, and if you think he's Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, number one type receiver in this league, and you're trying to give as many weapons as possible, and you know in this league today that you have to score points. It's a point-scoring league, and you need guys who can score touchdowns and make big plays. If Amari Cooper, and he right now, he is the guy when you talk receivers. I don't know if Kevin White's kind of creeping up.
He's the guy as far as offensive weapons overall.
I mean, so is that – I mean, you can make an argument and say, listen, we are going to load up on offense. We took care of defense and a lot of defensive line positions in free agency, and we're going to go get our number one receiver. And now we have Amari Cooper, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee. Those are our guys going forward with Allen Hurns as number four.
Or the other way thing, you flip that over and say, okay, can you imagine Jared Odrick, you know, send Derek Marks, Roy Miller, Leonard Williams, you know, I mean, all those guys, and then other guys rolling in.
Yeah,
because Leonard Williams
be pretty good.
I believe, and I think we said this last week on the show. I think Leonard Williams can play that Leo defensive end position on first and second down. He's that athletic. Now you know, in sub he's going to be inside. He's going to be a defensive tackle position DT, but he's athletic. And Jeff's right. You line up those four guys across the front, and you're like, okay, we're ready to play ball. But it's an offensive league. I keep on going back to that. You got to score points. And now, if Gus and Dave, they believe they can do what Seattle's done, very few teams, I mean, Seattle's really the only team. When you look at what they did at the end of last year, giving up, you know, 14, 15 points a game, everyone else is giving up, you know, a lot more than that. You got to be able to score, and this team struggles to score right now.
We'll come back in a moment, talk about a few free agents still out of the market. Speaking of wide receivers and the cost of cameras. This was a topic, a couple of weeks ago. The ESPN article has come out about the true cost and what it could mean to the National Football League. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
We're back on Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Well, the looking at free agency, we heard when the first wave of free agency happened, and even there was a secondary signing a few days after that by the Jags, a wide receiver from the Seahawks, that Dave Caldwell said, hey, we may not be done in free agency, right? Well, they haven't really signed anybody else since then, but there are some interesting guys kind of out of the market still. We were talking about wide receivers a while ago. Does Hakeem Nicks do anything for you?
No.
Why?
The knock on him is that his work ethic is not the greatest in the world. And you hear him talk a bigger game than he actually has. That's not the kind of guy that you want as a veteran presence in your meeting room. You know, whereas a Greg Jennings guy, humble, hardworking, you know, fairly productive, good in the meeting rooms, that's more the type of player that you want. I mean, that room is so young. The last thing in the world that you want to do is add any type of poison to it. And I'm not saying that, you know, the Hakeem Nicks is poison.
I think you just did.
But
I think you just said it.
He called them cyanide.
It definitely would upset your stomach.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid on that.
You know what I mean?
My goodness. Wow. Jeff making accusations.
Bringing the heat.
Hakeem Nicks. I wouldn't take Hakeem Nicks either. He had foot issues in New York. New York got rid of him. And the Colts got rid of him.
You remember the comments that came out from Indianapolis last year about Hakeem Nicks when the position coach came out and said some derogatory things about him, then it kind of became a little bit of a stink about how he needs to work harder?
And I know the receiver coach there, Charlie Williams. I mean, C-Dub's one of the nicest human beings. For him to say something bad, something's wrong.
Not good.
Jennings is still out there?
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of these guys that are still out there.
How old is Jennings? Like 32?
Yeah, but one of the reasons why a lot of these guys are still out there is that, you know, the market's changed, and these guys have a vision of where their price range should be, and it's not meeting where the team's vision is at. You know, I mean, that's why in free agency, it's, I don't want to say it's a, you know, dash for cash, but it is somewhat, and it's the earlier that you sign, I think Cecil Short signing early was a good thing, because otherwise he may be sitting around waiting, you know, to try to find a few dollars to get close to where his expectation is on his value. You know, so, you know, look, I mean, it's all that will play out. Some teams are going to wait until after the draft to see exactly what they get in the draft to find out. And a lot of the veterans are doing the same thing. You know, veteran guys that are, you know, bubble-type players. You know, do you want to go somewhere where they just draft a number one pick at your position? No. You know, so what's the hurry of signing? Why not wait until after the draft to find out where a team's need may be so that you can marry your abilities with the team's need? So it's kind of twofold. You know, the team's wanting to be patient for the price to come down, and then the player also wanting, you know, to – hey, look, the money ain't going to get extremely small between now and after the draft. So if you're a player – their position is, well, let's wait and see if the money gets a little bit better. And then if it's not getting better, let's wait and see where I need to be to have a job when the final roster decisions are made.
And that's another reason they're out there. They're at the point where they're average players right now. You know?
If they were elite, they'd be already taken.
They'd already be taken. Yeah. I mean, and Jeff's right. They're waiting to make sure they get in a good situation where they can – go out and play and maybe have a good year. A guy like Hakeem Nicks, you know, maybe wants the right situation where he can catch some balls and increase his value. Greg Jennings wants to go somewhere he can end his career and be productive. So,
yeah, because
but the biggest reason they're not signed right now is because they're just average at this point of their career.
And here's the thing. Like a guy like Hakeem Nicks, okay, injury history in New York, okay, not a great year in Indianapolis. The number of chances that he has – you know, it's, as far as longevity in the league, is starting to dwindle. You know, so he needs to maximize the opportunity that he has to maximize his production to give a positive impression. Because if he goes somewhere and sits behind a number one draft pick and is not playing and is not happy, every other team in the league is going to view him as, well, he's washed up, he doesn't have any more because he had two years in a row in which he hasn't been productive. They're just going to say, we don't want him anymore. We think he's done. You know, so as a player, you want to make sure that you get yourself in a place that you have an opportunity, Because if you lose that opportunity at a certain stage of your career, the opportunities may stop for you, period. I mean, sure. Stop.
Right.
You know, that's why, and then you'll be attending the veteran combine the following year.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. How many guys got signed? One guy?
I don't know. There's about three or four.
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah.
But not immediately. No, it's taking a little
bit. But, I mean, you're talking three or four out of –
I don't know how many guys were there.
100?
Yeah, probably.
You know, 100 that were there? You know, that's not a very good percentage.
Going back to a story we talked about, I guess a couple of weeks ago, you had your crack research staff, Tony, look up the cost of cameras.
200,000 per team is what I'm saying.
Yeah, did you see what the estimates were?
Estimates now, ESPN.com has an article, talked around the industry a bit, and said the cost of putting cameras in all 31 NFL stadiums is somewhere between $20 and $25 million.
Total.
Yeah, they're not.
Total. I don't believe that.
I don't believe that. My individual is much more credible than ESPN.
I'll stand by my source. I think that's a ridiculously inflated number.
I do too.
Everybody wants to make money, I guess.
Right? Well, yeah. I mean, whoever gave them that number is trying to make a lot of money.
Yeah, they are. It would be about 800,000 per team, right?
Joe said that they're just going to go get GoPros and put them out there.
Oh, well, that'd be cheap. You could get away with that. Right?
My number is closer to what the number is going to cost as opposed to what JP just said.
Would you say $1,500 per team? I think you're way off.
Why not?
I think you're way off.
Let's go to the phone line, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Chris is on the west side tonight. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Before I get into it, trying to find the archive of last week's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com. I couldn't find it anywhere. Found all the Jaguars today I wanted. Okay. Couldn't find it for some reason.
We'll check it out. Thank you.
So I wanted to get some opinion from a couple of players. I think we got two fronts going. One is increasing access that the fans have to players. For example, I have the all 22 tape. I can go look at it whenever I want because I'm a season ticket holder. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but everybody has it, which brings more scrutiny to the players. And then on the other front, you have the NFL trying to make the in-stadium experience better and exclusive so people don't stay at home. I think this means one thing, that you're going to see something like NASCAR has, where you have in-stadium access to mic'd up players and coaches on the sideline, and it might not stop there. It might go into the locker room. What would you guys do if you had to face, a decreasing level of privacy?
I don't think it'll ever get to that point. I do think what's going to happen on the in-stadium stuff, Chris, is I think, and your analogy or your example of NASCAR is outstanding. I think ultimately what is said between coach and player, a quarterback, the quarterback coach communication will be put on like a 10-second delay. And so there's no competitive disadvantage or anything, and that you'll be able to have access to hear the communication or something along those lines. It'll be delayed, so it'll be after the team breaks the huddle, and so there's no competitive advantage to anybody. But I could see something like that. I don't think you'll ever have players mic'd up on the sidelines because
it's a little too raw, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
I think there's some things that probably don't need to be heard. I think a lot of players would have a problem with that part, but I could see that communication between quarterback and coach, like NASCAR, pit to driver, it just had to be put on delay, and I think that's something you could hear.
See, the NASCAR is not delayed, though.
But you have to delay it here, so otherwise, you know, you can't have the opposing teams, you know, getting headsets and hearing plays and stuff like that.
Right, I guess.
But I think a delay would be very easy to do.
Yeah, I think if you could maybe expect to see something different. I mean, you go back and you look at some of the experimental things that they did in NFL Europe, to where they actually showed on television the actual coach on the sideline calling the plays, and they were actually showing it live with NFL Europe because, you know, the opponent didn't have any way of getting that feed because it was going back to the U.S. But
yeah, but that goes back – that's a TV product. I don't think they're worried about improving the TV product.
Yeah, they want people in the stadium.
What I'm talking about is that showing more of that type of stuff, not live, but showing it, you know, whether it be on a Jumbotron or in-stadium seating televisions or something like that. I mean, you know, who knows where it goes? I mean, with technology that's available today, you know, the live stuff, coach to quarterback, and I remember I brought that up a few years back because I remember I went to a NASCAR event, first Daytona 500 I ever went to, and I got those rental headphones, you know, to where you could listen in on the crew chief to the driver, and I thought it was cool, and I brought it up. Said, man, it'd be pretty cool to do that, you know, at an NFL stadium. But I just don't see that happening just because the way that the coaches view that information, if an opponent gets the terminology,
matches it to the or whatever. Tape or whatever.
Yeah, but, I'm just telling you right now, don't forget, the coaches have no say. All these changes about revenue.
You
got
to remember now, they've got a lot more say than you
think.
If
they had a say, there'd be cameras in stadiums this year.
No, but if a coach goes to an owner and says, hey, look, you know, if we do this, you know, it's going to take away our advantage.
We'll role play here.
If we do this, it's going to make us $75 million in sponsorship.
I'm the owner. I'm going to say, it's a 10-second delay. What's the problem?
Well, them getting our verbiage for in future use, and then they got a guy who could read lips up in the stands or the box.
This is going to bring an extra $50 million into our franchise, which I pay you about $5 million a year.
So can I make – can I make an extra million if you sign this deal?
I'll give you an extra $100.
I'm all for it.
Forget the verbiage. Who cares?
We'll even hire a guy so you can get the other team's verbiage for us. That'd be great. So everybody would hire an extra coach to listen to the other team's feed. Right?
Jeff,
it's all equal.
In all seriousness, Jeff might be right, but something like that is where they're going. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but they're going to continue to push the envelope to improve the in-game fan experience, the in-stadium fan experience, because you have to. TV is so good. HD.
This team has been remarkable at it. The Dallas Cowboys, their stadium experience is remarkable.
Because I was thinking about this, and I was watching the Final Four, and in the it was in Lucas Oil, and I sat there thinking. I said, unless I'm like really close, I wouldn't want to sit far away in that. Now this is basketball, so it's a completely different experience.
Still, I mean, I'm
watching on HD, and just being that far away from a basketball game. So you think about, and so there has to be something else. Now then I'm watching the game, like, man, I'd love to be there because of the excitement and the energy and everything else. And so the owners are going to continue to, and Shad and Mark and everyone here, and a lot, Jeff mentioned some other franchises do a good job, are going to continue to make the fan experience in the stadium so special that even though you have the 60-inch HD TV and the cameras and the angles and all the stuff the networks are doing are so good right now, which is great, that's good, you're going to still want to be in the stadium because there's nothing like the stadium experience. And if that's adding different audio options or video packages or, you know, whatever it is, I think you're going to continue to see that progress to make it the best possible experience that they can.
Join John Osier and me for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1. We'll have special guests, keep you informed of the latest Jags news, and take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 on Jaguars.com. The archive up there now, Will Brinson from CBSSports.com, and Luke Bowenko joined us this past week. We'll look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Final few moments of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick with Jeff Logman, Tony Baselli. It's time for our look around the National Football League, a 360-degree look presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more.
What you got?
Well, the Colts have picked up Andrew Luck's option for 2016. That's pretty easy decision.
$16 million, yeah. I think, is what it's going to be worth.
Easy decision, right?
That's a no-brainer.
I think they should have let him go free.
So, basically, they're assured of locking him up at least through 2017 because they have the ability to use the franchise tag after they exercise the option. So Andrew Luck is not going anywhere for the Indianapolis Colts until 2017.
No, he's not. It's wrong. That's completely inaccurate. He's not going anywhere until his career's over.
Probably not.
So
you know what? That's what they say about a lot of quarterbacks, too.
Okay.
And
where is he? So you're saying
no,
he's
going
to be
saying
a
other franchise quarterback. Peyton Manning is no longer with the
Colts.
He
broke his neck.
So, hey.
I mean,
he
can
break his too and he goes somewhere else. Don't say never.
Okay. So, okay.
Never say never.
Let me say the only way he won't be there. If he gets seriously hurt where his career is in question and there's another Andrew Luck in the draft, because that's the only reason.
Well, there you go. Then
the
there's
Colts
a reason.
Let Peyton Manning go because they knew they were getting Andrew Luck. The only reason. And he had a broken neck.
You know, the crazy thing, too.
So, you're a little 17, whatever. Just, I mean, just mark it down until he's done.
Talk about the greatest stroke of genius or luck, whatever you want to call it, from Peyton Manning in 1998.
Whoa. Did you say genius? What genius was there?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, if you can call it genius because, I mean, you know.
No, it's called luck.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with – there was no genius there.
Luck, and Andrew
to get
Luck.
Right.
No,
yeah.
No, they were the worst team in football, and they got Peyton Manning. Then they were the worst team in football, and they got Andrew Luck. That's called lucky.
But it might
in between those times,
but,
they were in the playoffs every year.
It might have been genius, okay, to lose that last game to assure that you got the first
wasn't
pick
the Jaguars?
The following year. Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was like a mojo touchdown or something,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mojo should have fumbled
so
it.
So it's his fault. Way to go, Mojo.
So maybe there was some genius involved.
Sarah Thomas will become the first female official in the National Football League, longtime official in CUSA, and 2 years in the NFL officiating training program. What do you think?
I think it's great. I mean, she's paid her dues. She's earned it. I think she will get great respect in the National Football League when she starts her job this year.
What's her name, Sarah?
Sarah Thomas.
Sarah Thomas got the greatest compliment I've heard so far on radio. I was listening to another show talk about this in Sports Talk today. They had players who played in games that she officiated in the preseason, and the comment from them was, we didn't even know there was a lady on the field. That's what you want. I don't care if she's a man or I don't care what her gender is. If she's good and she can do the job, she deserves to be there. Obviously, that's the case. She's paid her dues, like Jeff said. The reviews she got from doing the preseason from players was, I didn't know that there was a female out there. That's what you want. I think she'll do fine. I think she'll do very well. And the fact that she's a lady, I think it's great for socially or whatever, you know, statement you want to make. But the big picture, I guarantee you if you asked her, she wants to go do a good job and earn have the merit or earn her credibility because she's a good official, not because she's a good woman official.
If you're noticing officials, you're right. That's a problem.
She did a great job.
Right.
She
well, some of them you notice, and it's, you know, like Ed Hockley.
Well,
he's got
the
referee. He's got the guns.
I saw her. She's not
going to
flex, though.
You know?
I mean, there's no flexing by her.
No,
I don't think she's yoked up like – she didn't look yoked up like Ed.
NFL training program, you never know.
I saw her she was on Fox Fox last night doing an interview, and then she was on one of the sports talk radio shows. So she's making the rounds. Good for her.
And just like any other official, if things don't go well, they'll
find
somebody else to do the
guess
job.
What?
And
well,
they do that,
which has happened to like, you know, 8 or 9
a lot.
From the roster of last year,
right,
because
right.
they've hired 8 or 9 new. So that means 8 or 9.
Got the boot. You get rid. It's
either,
like any other
either
job.
They retired or they got canned.
It's like any other job. And guess what? If she does a bad job, and I was a coach on the sideline, I'm going to rip her. I'm going to get after her.
Right.
Just like I would if it was a man. I'd get after him. I mean, and that's what she should expect. And frankly, that's what she probably wants. She wants to be treated based on the job she does.
I don't know. Should I ask this or not? But I will anyway.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing you ever said to an official, Tony?
I was very kind.
Were you?
I don't know. No, not really.
Jeff, I don't know. I mean, this is, you can't really say it on the air.
Yeah, I would so probably call something a there was a holding call or something, I might.
Sir, you are incorrect.
I think you missed that, my friend.
The CFL has changed extra point rules. 1 point try moves from the 5 yard line to the 25. 2 point try from the 5 yard line down to the 3 now, a little closer. The CFL rejected what would have been a 3 point play, which would have been awarded on a good 2 point try from the 10. So the CFL making some.
Does
extra
anybody
point
care
changes.
About the CFL?
No,
but it could come up for it'll come up for a vote
so,
again.
Oh, so now you're saying
in the no, so no, I'm just saying
your thesis here is that the NFL looks to the CFL and is going to be influenced by what the CFL does.
I didn't say
is
that.
What you're trying
I
to
say the CFL made some changes.
Why are you reading about the story?
All right, let's go to the next one.
Thank
Fine.
You.
Rob Gronkowski is writing a book. It'll be out July 14th.
That's
what do you
more
think?
Interesting. That will be a good book. Yeah. If he tells the truth, that'll be an interesting read.
I'd want to read the book that can't be written that he could write.
You see that, dude?
It might be written anyway.
He was at that Ultra Fest down in Miami. Like the big, like it's a big musical fest. It's like crazy. I mean, it's like nuts. He was dancing and jumping off stage. I mean, the guy is living.
He likes to enjoy himself.
Good for very, him. Fast life.
Super Bowl champ.
Favorite CFL team? Go.
Argonauts.
Stampeders for me.
I don't even know which.
Winnipeg Jets.
I don't know That's all the teams. Hockey, so I have no idea.
Sorry.
Didn't,
Winnipeg
didn't the Rocket Ishmael play for the Toronto
the Eskimos.
Argonauts? I think he did.
I like yeah. the Eskimos.
Warren Moon was in the CFL.
The Eskimos.
Alouettes.
Alouettes.
Montreal Alouettes.
Isn't the Eskimos one of the teams, too?
Yes, Edmonton.
Edmonton. I'm like,
I like
know
Edmonton because they had a great hockey team.
See you next week on Jaguars Thursday.